This is a production of Cornell University.
Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, February 15th, meeting of the Employee Assembly. It is 12:20 p.m. Before we get started, we have a guest with us today. I'd like to ask him to introduce himself.
Hey, I'm Manu Rathar. I'm a freshman. I write for the Daily Times, and I'm covering the meeting for the Daily Times.
Great. Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you. Welcome.
Okay, moving right along, are there any late additions to the agenda for today? No. Great. Okay, if people have a quick chance to take a look at the minutes, are there any additions, changes, corrections?
The last page under elections, it says that I attended with Tanya in her meeting with Mary Opperman.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You didn't catch that.
Thank you, Bridget.
You're welcome, Bridget.
Any other changes, corrections? All right, go ahead now, Bridget.
Ooh, that's free spring.
I know. Wow. Through the minutes.
You
want to
pack
it
up and carry.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Okay. Moving right in, report from the chair. So we had the leadership breakfast yesterday, and we talked about the academic calendar and the proposed changes, and I can email, I just didn't have the time to print up copies, but I can email those changes to you, but essentially, do you want to talk about it, or do you want me to just talk?
Yeah. I can talk about it.
Great.
I actually brought all of my notes. So the Academic Calendar Committee is very pleased to say that now our work is public, so we can talk about the proposals that are being put forward. The first thing I want to say is that part of the proposal includes two new staff holidays. Mm-hmm. And I have told the committee that we would probably be behind it, but yeah. We have a conversation about it. But in addition, new staff holidays that we do not currently receive.
But nothing would be.
To what we already get. So it includes MLK Day and President's Day.
Rock on.
Rock on.
Right? And this came from the committee, because when they realized...
Who can quote us on that?
When the committee is predominantly faculty, and when they learned that staff don't have a break from winter break until Memorial Day, they were shocked. And thought that we should. So, yay. We need to find a way to work in concert with their proposal to support that. So they are proposing for the fall, not much in the way of changes. The fall would continue to have fall break, and we would have the Wednesday of Thanksgiving week off. Right now it's a half day. This would be for students. This is not for staff. but the students, so classes would end on that Tuesday of Thanksgiving week. And then the study period is much shorter at the end of the semester before exams start. It is Saturday and Monday. And exams would start, I think exams start on that Monday. They might start on Tuesday. I'm trying to remember.
They start on Monday.
On Monday. So not only is it a shortened study period, it's also going to be a shortened exam period. So that's the fall. Currently, there's an imbalance in the number of class days in the fall and the spring. There are 70 days in the fall and 67 and a half in the spring. So part of our work has been to try to balance that out. So this change brings it up to 68 days for the fall.
And within just in addition on the exams, they've actually built another study day in the middle of the exam period. So you'd have a little bit of study, then another built-in day in the middle.
Right. And there will be exams on Sunday.
Yes, just one exam.
Right.
from a Sunday.
Afternoon on Sunday.
And then there's also one exam on Saturdays as well.
One or two? Just one?
Just one, okay. According to what they gave us yesterday.
Okay. So we decided to be an equal opportunity offender by working out the week, you know, working through the weekend. So that's part of our conclusion. So the spring is the larger, has more changes in it. Spring would start the Wednesday after Martin Luther King Day every year. That would be the, we had to kind of set a beginning and an end point, and it will always have graduation on Memorial Day as we do now. So that's the time period for spring. A President's Day holiday of Monday and Tuesday of President's Day week. So if it were happening this year, it would be this coming Monday and Tuesday, we would have off. Students would have off. And then spring break would be centered more in the middle of the semester, and probably the 2 days, Thursday and Friday, before spring break would be holiday also.
For students.
For students. All of this for students. And then the exam week would be the same as it is in the fall. So a shortened study period, exam starting on Monday, ending on the following Tuesday, with a focus on getting senior exams done soonest. So that senior week still has its wholeness for most seniors. And then commencement would be on Memorial Day.
Dragon Day would have to change.
That perhaps. Was a question that came up in the...
And this is still all the proposed
changes. These are proposed changes. For next year? No.
2013.
At the earliest. Yeah.
That's what they have. It's starting fall of 20, at least on the little calendar.
And who will all have to approve this?
It's going next to the deans. It went to today. It went out to the deans. And it will be in the Sun. It will be in the Chronicle. And so it is now part of conversation. I don't know the answer to how do we make the final rubber stamp order changes.
Well, you know, it's interesting that Becky said something about staff not having time off because a lot of staff don't have Memorial Day.
Right.
Because graduation. Mm-hmm. Weekend, anyway.
Yep.
When I have Memorial Day, but they don't have that Sunday and have like a traditional 3-day weekend.
Right. So.
And that's something, you know, they had looked at trying to move it off of Memorial Day weekend, and the senior leadership said it really needs to stay there. The rest of the committee, Bill Doyle, something?
Yeah.
Jeff Doyle. Jeff Doyle and Kate Walsh said that they would be willing to come in and talk to any of the groups who want to talk to them. So if we feel we want them to come here to talk more in depth about the calendar, we can invite them to. I just didn't want to do that if there wasn't a whole lot of question in there staff-wise.
I tried my best to insert conversations when it seemed like it would affect staff. So, for example, one of the proposals was to have 2 weeks off during spring, probably not concurrently. And there were some concerns about how that might feel for staff who get laid off during spring break. They're still working the same number of days in the year, but the perception could be a negative one if they're laid off more than once in a semester. And the students actually didn't really like that idea either, which is why it's been changed.
So does anybody feel we want them to come in, or are we good just pushing for those 2 staff holidays?
Is there a floating holiday in the winter break between the end of the fall semester and New Year's? Is there a holiday in there that might change? Okay, so I know sometimes it was referred to as kind of like the...
That was not part of our discussion. We were really only talking about the student academic calendar. Mm-hmm. So since that's not part of the calendar, we didn't talk about it.
Anything else on the calendar? Nope. That's what we talked about yesterday at Leadership Breakfast. The other things that I have... 2 pieces of information. One, I spoke to the Sun last week, as did Mary, about the employee survey. So if you haven't had a chance to look at it, it was in Monday's Sun.
Nice job.
So take a look at that. And then the other thing is that last week, or 2 weeks ago after our EA meeting, I spoke to Mary because there was a real push for student assembly leadership to participate in trustee meetings when the trustees are here on campus. And Mary felt, you know, if we're going to invite students, that we should also invite staff. So starting this year and hopefully continuing on, the chair of the EA will sit in on Ithaca campus trustee meetings, anything that's kind of the public meetings. We won't be invited to private stuff, but just the public. So that I thought was nice that Mary thought about making sure that it was equal for the staff. So that. And then we've got the other stuff in the letter, so that's it for that. Moving on to committee reports. The George Peter Award, we've got a bunch of applications, and the committee is meeting next Wednesday, so hopefully we'll have two or three awards to give out in the next couple months. But we've gotten a few new ones in this year to look at.
I'm on that committee.
Are you?
I'm not on the email. I thought I was on that committee. Maybe I
didn't. You weren't on the list on the EA website.
We can add you.
I can add you. Next Wednesday at noon.
It's okay.
Please come.
The answer? No. Okay. Enough people.
I could always use
never
that.
Have enough.
Never have enough.
Yeah, if I can make.
I'll email you. Okay.
Okay. There's only, what, two other members?
There's like four.
Four.
So. Leslie, you want to talk about communications?
Yes, the communications committee met last week on Thursday. We talked about starting to implement our new EA logo. We also talked about the election communication plan, which I sent out to everybody. I didn't bring copies. I just figured people could look at it and give suggestions or comments on it. Pretty straightforward. Same types of things we did last year to get the word out about elections. I don't know if anybody has any comments on election communication.
But
we
will.
Did you get it?
No,
I don't think
I did.
I got it.
I
sent it
this morning.
I didn't get it.
Hmm.
That's weird.
Well,
people got it.
Well, wait. Did anybody besides Bridget and I get it? That's fine. Right, but the three of us would be on that main EA email. Did you send it to EA
members?
Did you send it to EA dash members?
Or EA exec?
Well, not exact, because
I didn't send it to
if you sent it to EA at assemblies.cornell, then it would have just gone.
So it should be EA members.
EA dash members.
Right, well, I'll send it. But anyway, so there's communication plans, and I will send it to you. And if you have any comments or suggestions, things you would like to add to it. But, you know, we're doing all the normal things we normally do. Facebook ads, do an ad in the Sun, corporate flashes, press release, all that good stuff.
And there'll be a little blurb in next week's paw print, just encouraging people to run.
And you know, we're trying to promote the EA or the play election trustee as well. So we're going to add that into our communication. Here's our flyer for running. If you want me to pass. I don't have enough for everybody, so it's just kind of but Steve came up with that and sent that this morning. So I think that looks pretty good and incorporates our new logo. Good comments about that. I don't have a lot of information, so especially about the trustee stuff, so I just went with what in terms of text with what I thought should be on there. So it's about if there's anything you want to change.
Well, that's why I just want to make sure I'm in the dark like you are, but I want to make sure we follow all the right rules, whatever they are. I'm not running that.
Right.
Either at home in the
village. Good night. Do it in our circulation.
What's that name?
Our circulation.
Oh. Thank you,
Arnie. See, now if we had EA provided tablets, we could all be.
That's right. Yeah, iPads. You could get it all.
the EA, we talked about the EAE news a little bit. So if anybody has items they would like, I'm planning on sending one out probably in a week or two. If anybody has items for the EAE news.
I've got a bunch of kudos and stuff.
Oh, awesome. Just send them to you. So if there's things coming up, but we'll be promoting the election and reporting and kudos and stuff like that.
Does anyone know of anyone who's thinking about running for the EA or talk to anybody? Because we're going to need 7 new members. So if you know folks, talk to them about it or just, you know.
Or if you have an internal email list, you could just put a
particularly for people who are going off the EA this year, if you can think about someone who may be a good person to kind of fill. I mean, it's great. We've got a lot of diversity in terms of areas of campus now, and it would be great to kind of keep that up.
Have you thought of sending messages to the college networking groups?
The what?
They're like affinity groups on campus, men of color, women of color, LGBT, veterans.
Cassie
Joseph is the one who manages office
work
for
Cassie Joseph?
Mm-hmm.
Cassandra.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sure
she would be very happy. Okay. So once we've got what we're going to put in the paw print, I can circulate that and make sure it goes. Okay, great.
And then the EA survey, we have a communications plan for that, which I circulated as well. We're planning for an April 1st launch for it to go out to everybody. I'm working with Yasmin about on that, but there's a bunch of things that need to happen in terms of email, text, and all that kind of stuff. So I'll just be communicating with everybody as we go along. And Curtis, I assigned Curtis to take the lead on that, so I'll be working with him on that because I wasn't sure I could do for the elections and the surveys. That's pretty much what we talked about at the communications
committee. Yeah. Is there any budget items that you wanted to talk about?
Yes. Amy said that we need to do a resolution to transfer money from one area of the budget to another.
Yeah, Gemma, we were talking about that yesterday in the budget meeting. So,
we're gonna change around how we're reporting the budget. We're just going to try and do quality from here on out. The categories that we have for the budget, nine categories we're not going to break down inside each category because there's no way to report it in quality, like all the different things within a category. So communications just has one budget, and we gave you a budget of $2,050, and so you would have to move money from one of the other categories in order to do this, but we think we can do that by that live streaming cost that we've already paid for.
Mm-hmm.
It was
$950, yeah.
Basically. Mary said she'd pay for that. Is that correct?
Yep. You were there, right?
She did say that.
Yeah. Okay, so would you mind asking for an account number that we can transfer that off, and then we would be able to, once we clear that from one of the other accounts, we'll just move it, you'll borrow money from one of the other areas.
Okay.
It's already here, which is, I believe, under the administrative area. So that was our concern, to make sure we got that money back and we pulled it up.
So it is just the 947 that was...
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Do you have anything to add to that, Larry?
There is budgeting within the categories, but it's by object code, and it doesn't have to be 77 levels.
Do we know how much money we've spent so far this year?
About $1,900. But we think some of... I don't have the... Some things might have hit the wrong category before we really got into quality. Right. So we're not convinced all that yours.
Good shape.
Yeah. $1,900 in the communications. We've spent half our budget already.
Oh, $1,900 in just communications?
Yeah.
Probably.
That includes the $1,200 that actually belongs under the president's address to staff, which is not part of the communications budget.
Right. Like, I know I didn't spend money.
It used to be the president's address was included in the communications budget. Now it's a separate category. So
mostly that expense is copying and printing lines. I haven't looked into what the detail is there, but there was about $500 in
and food and a couple of other things.
Yeah,
you did.
No, I can see the spending that, but I knew I didn't spend $100.
So when you're doing your budget for, like when you're working very closely with the elections committee, make sure that when you give Amy receipt that you're telling her for what comes out of elections budget, not yours.
So that we're real.
Because she thinks, you know, it's easy to say it came from you, that would be communication.
Well, right, and probably if we had copying, maybe that would. Well, last year, but election.
We're just going to try to get president's address to be its own section and communications its own and elections its own.
Right. So when we, okay, so like our kudos luncheon would be awards and recognition.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody
else with communications?
Have anything else? About communication.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Last thing, we'll talk about Faculty Senate.
Yes. So last week's Faculty Senate meeting, the Provost and Dan Hippenlocker came and talked about the Tech Campus again. I've heard the spiel quite a bit, so I was looking for what is different from what we've already heard in terms of the information that's out there, and there was already an article about it, but I just want to give you the highlights. So the name of the campus will be Technion Cornell Innovation Institute. The founding dean has been named as Dan Hutenlocker, who is the current dean of the engineering school, and the chief administrative officer will be Kathy Dove. This is all pending trustee approval, but they're already making announcements that it's happened.
So the dean for engineering is also going to be the dean for that?
I believe that there will probably be a search for a new dean of engineering.
Oh.
But I don't know that. Quote me on that. Don't quote me on that. I just totally made that up. They will be starting classes this fall somewhere in New York City, so they're in search of a building to rent. But the opening for the first building on the new campus on Roosevelt Island will be in 2017. And they have some fundamentals that they're trying to follow, or that they will be following. One is that the budget for the New York City campus will be separate and self-sufficient. They will actually be paying us administrative costs, because we'll, as in not EA, but Cornell, Ithaca. Because of the central budgeting functions, and some of the overhead we'll be covering here in Ithaca. They will be following the capital project spending guidelines, just like we have to, so they have to have all the money in hand before they can build. There will be a strong focus on philanthropy. They will grow the program as resources are available, so no overspending. And they will honor the New York City legal commitments that they've made that are, you know, their laws are different from Ithaca law. Cornell is the owner of the campus. Technion is not contributing any money to this venture. That was new information to me. But they are 50-50 with the work. And so the partnership is a 50-50 work partnership, but they are not, Technion is not contributing any finances.
What's the name of the institute again?
Technion Cornell.
That's what I was wondering.
Innovation.
That seems a little weird.
I can't say why, but that's...
So the campus itself has a name, which is Cornell NYC Tech Campus. But this
program.
Is an institute. The program is the institute.
Okay. Are you going to say something, Art?
Yeah, the Innovation Institute is like an institute within that campus. So there's a joint venture with the Technion within the campus, but the whole campus and other programs Cornell creates at the campus will not be the partnership with the Technion.
The partnership hasn't been defined yet beyond we have a public relationship. So that
led into a really interesting conversation among the faculty about concerns about Technion Israel as an institution and our relationship with them. Because they are government funded, and from what I understand, this is what was stated in the meeting, they do a lot in the arms and military industry, and so they're concerned about their relationship to Palestine and that kind of stuff. So it got a bit interesting at that point. And Kent Fox's response to, the initial response to the concerns that were being raised was, if Cornell is going to change the world, that is our goal, the way you do that is through engagement and not boycott. So that's how we're coming at this. The Technion folks will have to abide by our policies when on our campus. And there is a student group called Students for a Just Palestine that is right now soliciting signatures on a petition to no longer have this relationship with Technion, and Kent is meeting regularly with them. I don't know the nature of those conversations, but he is having regular meetings with them. That conversation didn't go away. It kept trying to be redirected. It didn't go away. What came out for me was a consistent theme that has come up in faculty senate meetings since I've been attending for the last year or so, which is the faculty being frustrated that administrative decisions are made without their involvement. It comes up at every single meeting. Somebody raises an issue that they feel like an announcement is made that this is what's going to happen, and that the faculty were not involved in that decision. So I think that's just kind of an interesting thing for us to know that's happening. There's a tension there between the faculty and the administration. And then the last piece, in terms of the $350 million donation that was made to the Tech campus, which got us, first of all, the announcement, they knew about the gift before the announcement was made. They held off making the announcement, and they strategically timed when it was going to be announced. The Atlantic Philanthropies, Mr. Feeney, the man whose money supports Atlantic Philanthropies, has given $1 billion to Cornell over the years. $1 billion. That's a lot of money. And at $350 million of it was just this past fall. So, and then the last thing, there were concerns raised about, now we have this big focus on tech and what's happening to the humanities. And the answer was that most of the faculty hiring this year has been in the humanities. And also a reminder of the new building that's That's the faculty senate meeting last week, yes.
Can I add something that's not faculty senate related, mm-hmm. but New York, mm-hmm. Cornell New York Tech campus related? If you haven't seen this on the jobs page, if staff are interested, they can sign up to be on a list.
Mm-hmm.
The same communication about what's happening with the Tech campus, and then other things too are on that list.
Jobs related?
Mm-hmm. Jobs related.
Because part of the HR piece is going to be done by a separate entity.
Oh.
Cornell HR is not doing all the hiring, correct?
There was some concern. There was some concern raised about the allure of New York City and the absence of allure of in terms of the.
That's who you are.
But that was not brought up in this group. It seemed to be a group that was more seduced by New York City than not. And what that, how that might impact the faculty here. Might we become the second-class citizens, so to speak, of Cornell, because all the highest-pollutant faculty want to go to New York City.
High-pollutant?
I'm saying so pollutant. You might use a different phrase. So it was an interesting meeting. It always is. I mean, there's always some heated exchange that happens because the faculty gets more engaged around something. But they're generally a pretty quiet group. It's just a few. I can tell you the names of the people that are going to speak up. Almost always the same people.
Okay.
I'm done.
Anything else? Any other comments? Okay. I guess we don't have to talk about the academic calendar since
I think we
did that. Okay. On to business. So.
Oh,
Are we expected to do a resolution of support or something? Just as a follow-up to that? Or
we probably should decide what we want to do.
Yeah, but I just didn't want to leave that topic
today.
That's all it is. Holidays and the
offering. Probably not going to happen.
So, yes, maybe try and put together a resolution just in support of. Maybe put some outline about, you know, that we really appreciate the staff, the consideration of the staff within that.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Who's going to write that?
I guess I will write it in English and Ari will write it in whereas it. Right, Ari?
Sure.
All
Ari
right.
will write it in resolution format.
Ari will write a resolution and I'll write gibberish. Okay. So, under two new pieces of business, so we've gotten two email communications, one of them on parking and the bus specific to the EHOB area, the East Hill Plaza group, and there's two concerns in here, one of them being the fact that that parking lot will go from a free lot to a paid lot based on the new parking structure. And the other piece is tied to the buses that run from EHOB down to campus. So just in general, they're going to be charged $360 a year for parking now. They're concerned about that because they haven't had to pay additionally.
Is that on a low tier side or a high tier side?
That's on a WE, basically an outlying. The cheapest paid, I think, before you get to free. They're saying that there aren't really options for folks who park in those buildings for alternative or public transportation to the workplace. So for those of us who are working here on the main campus, you can catch a bus to A lot. There really is no option other than catching a public bus to campus, then the campus bus over to A lot. So it's not as easy as it is for most of us. Plus, it's a significant amount of travel time. They were saying it's about a 30-minute just to get from the parking to their office each way. So it is a significant impact on them. So that's one of their questions. The other is the TCAT number 82 bus has changed their schedule by 6 or 8 minutes. And the way it was able to work in the past for them is that if they had a meeting on the hour, they could get on like the 48 minutes after the hour bus to get to campus on time. Now they're having to leave their offices on the half hour, so they're getting here early. So they're kind of just the way that the buses are running, they're having to do a lot of just hanging out time to make sure that they're at a meeting on time. A couple things that they're asking for is an increase in the frequency of the number 82 bus to campus from EHOB, so in every 10 minute, kind of like the downtown shuttle.
There's no more buses.
There's no more Cornell shuttle. That was done away with, and the 82 picked it up.
82 goes once every 15 minutes.
Right. Mm-hmm. So they're hoping that we can get it to 10 minutes. And then they're asking for a 20-second stop when they're at EHOB, so essentially when the bus gets there, it has to sit for 20 seconds before it can leave. So if somebody's in their office working, they could actually see the bus and get out and not have to be standing out there because the bus only stops for a second. So that's something that they're asking, allowing for flexibility for individuals who are in meetings and can't see the bus from their office or meeting room. So if the bus gets there, it'll wait a minute, 20 seconds or so. And then their third thing is that they're asking for another parking place to be designated closer to East Hill for free commuter parking to allow individuals better options for taking public transportation to work without compromising productivity. So I don't know if we have any influence over TCAT to get them to go on a 10-minute route. I don't know what that entails. The 20-second stop...
I would suggest bringing some of this to the campus infrastructure.
Yes, and I already talked to Jim Blair about it a little bit.
And because David Lee from Transportation, who's involved in Cornell's relationship with
TCAT,
attended all of those meetings and I think you'd be very receptive to any feedback.
Yeah. So we can.
Wasn't the transportation guy supposed to come to our meeting at some point?
He was, and then he. They kept putting us off until they had talked to some other groups, and we never. So I'll follow up on that.
They came the day we met in Geneva.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they were supposed to come and see us again in the fall, but they wanted to get the proposed change back out to the UA before it came to the EA, and it never came. I dropped that, so I'll ask them about that. So yeah, I can turn this over, but they gave us 18 pages of signed petition.
And this was just for us?
This came to us. Yeah, I don't know if they sent similar letters to anyone else. When I spoke to Jim yesterday at the leadership breakfast, he hadn't seen anything come through the UA.
And who is Jim?
Jim Blair. He is the vice chair of the UA.
Mm-hmm. He's been to meetings before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wonder. So he sits on the campus infrastructure?
I don't know if Jim is on infrastructure. Do you know?
No, I don't think so.
So. Who's taking it to campus infrastructure?
Well,
I can bring it.
You can bring it to infrastructure. Okay, I'll email it to you because I have it on email.
But as Ari said, David comes to almost every meeting, to the infrastructure meeting. So, bring that to
me.
So. It seems like they have some legitimate. Yeah. I think because there's no, I think the biggest thing is because there's no other options. Mm-hmm. Like, we have an option of parking in a lot. Not, you know, extremely convenient for people, but they really don't have any other options, right?
Right, but I think, you know, just in saying where does it end, because there are people who work in, you know, remote areas of campus who it takes a long time to get to ALOT. You know, if you work right here on Central Campus, you can catch it, and it's, I think, fairly quick. But like I know for me, for instance, I would have to walk to Central Campus. There's nothing that comes down by me, so I'd have to walk here and then take the bus. So, you know, I can see they're upset about paying for parking, but anyone who pays for parking is upset about having to pay for parking, I think. So I don't know that we'll be able to change that for them.
I think they're not asking for the change not to happen.
Yeah, they're asking for options. No, they're asking for options. I think that they would love for that not to happen, but I think that some of the things that they're asking for are fairly reasonable things, and she sent a follow-up email as well to say that, you know, they were, what did she say here, I guess they wrote a letter of appeal, and then the bus schedule changed by 6 minutes, so that was the change. So they're asking, and one of their other concerns was that it wasn't communicated to them. So they had people waiting for buses, and they did speak to TCAT about that, and they said that if it's a minor change that TCAT does not have to notify, their comment is that a 6 minute change is a 40% change in time, and that is not insignificant when you're looking at something like that. So.
And is that just residents that we have, or is it also East Hill Plaza?
East Hill Plaza as well. Okay. Yep. You have an equal project.
Yep,
both of them. So,
how are they going to monitor that? I mean, because there's businesses there too.
I was thinking that.
Well, there is. Well, so when I was dealing with my parking stuff, I said, well, you know, I'll just park at East Hill Plaza and take the shuttle down because it's easier for me than ALOT. And they said that the businesses in East Hill Plaza do monitor the parking, and you will get ticketed. There is a portion of the East Hill Plaza lot that does have Cornell signs on it for Cornell designated parking only. You know, over to East Hill Plaza. So I would say, you know, if you randomly every once in a while parked over there, they might not get you. But if they saw the same car there 8 hours a day, every day, there'd probably be.
Right, the exception because the manager is one of a bunch of Cornell employees parking the lot without bothering them.
So that is.
Well, yeah, and people tend to stop by to get something.
Something
kind of smart business strategy.
Maybe we should pitch that to.
I just know because a friend of mine has that deal with the manager. That's how I know.
That's great.
Yeah.
The one other thing that we got, and I haven't had a chance to really do anything with this yet, is got an email from Terry Mingle, an undergraduate student services assistant in nutritional sciences, talking about technology here on campus, primarily about things like PeopleSoft or C-Course, things that need to be improved, Brio, that if you have the latest web browser, you can't use Brio because you have to use an old web browser to use Brio. The same thing with Kronos. And then the notion that most of our software programs are not operable on Macs yet. Macs cause far less problems. So a lot of concern on there, and I think this has just got to go over to, I don't even...
Ted does.
Is it Ted on the software piece? Like Kronos?
Well, we'll direct it to, yeah, right. I think there are different issues there.
Yeah, there's a lot of different issues.
More Mac versus PC
right
there, and then you have the other piece.
So she just, at the end, she says, as a 24-year-old employee, as a 24-year employee, please know that I've always been proud of my employer. Cornell strives to be on the cutting edge of things, yet on the flip side, I remain disappointed that day-to-day essential program system upgrades get ignored.
Might be something when he comes to visit.
Right? Yeah. So I'll forward this. What?
Yeah,
maybe she'll want to run for the, yeah. I'll ask if she wants to run for the, yeah.
Well, you could invite her to that meeting.
Too. Right. So that was just another thing that came over to us. And I think that's all that I have. Is there anything anybody else wants to talk to? Or are we going to end a half hour early? Oh, look at that. Look at that. Go ahead.
I just wanted to follow up on what was going on with the paper ballot.
Oh, so we didn't talk about it exact this week. But what are refresh me if I'm remembering incorrectly, because I seem to do that a lot these days. You've got all the net IDs of folks who haven't, everyone's ID is active. It's that they don't use them or haven't ever gone on and used them, and there's, I can't remember how many.
It's about 100.
Right. So Ari wants us to work on what kind of communication we want to get out, and there will be a paper ballot that they can contact the EA office to say, I want a ballot, and we can send them a ballot. But we'll send out some piece of paper communication, whether that's a postcard or something, saying, you know, here's an opportunity.
And I'll just add, we checked with the HR office about mm-hmm. what they do for folks who report not being able to use the service online, and they said they'll put up a paper form, they'll have one in the desk mm-hmm. at the central office, and they said people always come to them for them, but they would send it by campus mail if the person asked for that.
Okay.
So that's what we'll do.
Did we see in the hundreds of people that are not utilizing it, did we see any kind of concentration in a certain area more so than others?
There were a bunch of dining services and building care positions there. I think that those accounted for most of them. And there were a few scattered other positions. Interestingly, and we didn't count these among the numbers, there were a bunch of academic positions, which looked like postdocs who just never had reason to use their net ID, we assume. And then there were a bunch of employees in eCornell, which I think they were reported as employees, but they might have been correspondent students or something like that.
Because I was just wondering if it might make sense to have some paper ballots, yeah, offices that are nearby where they can access them to go pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that way there are probably some who access them also that are not in the 100 but very infrequently, and they're not getting counted into the 100.
I think the logistics of that might prove to be
more complicated
than it's worth, because whoever was holding on to those ballots would, in order to provide a useful service there, they'd have to understand what has to be done with them. And it would just be easier to give people a phone number and say, call this number if you need, mm-hmm. and then we can do whatever they need to get the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
there's your question.
Yes, and then the other thing was we're supposed to get a doodle poll about the Geneva date.
Yeah, I haven't done that yet.
But we need to first find out if our other guests, what they
say. Yes, we'll follow up on those.
So yes, I haven't done that yet.
Okay.
I've been ordering food and booking hotels. It's been a very eventful 2 weeks. Leslie, you have something.
Yeah, I'm still short 2 people for tomorrow's Super Bowl. I have soup servers, but I would love to have some people help us sell soup bowls. I mean, I might be able to bring one home.
Oh,
they're a little expensive. They're very cool.
They are very cool. They're very nice. Well, I'm excited to come serve.
Me too.
Awesome.
The Bridges.
Got both of the Bridges now. Awesome. Thank you.
And Beth, right?
All the bees.
What time do I need to be there?
12 is fine.
Okay.
Maybe even 5 to 4 because people start arriving around 12 and we want to be able to start serving them when they get there.
I have extra hair nets.
We don't require hair nets.
Thank you.
My apron from last year.
Because if you require hair nets, I was going to rescind my.
You didn't know? Just wear a chef's hat.
And we do have, I mean, we're kind of excited about being able to say this. We have one gluten-free vegan soup now.
Really?
Wow. Every chicken home.
That is very nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What kind of soup is tomorrow?
The gluten-free vegan is lentils. Mm-hmm. I do not know what the other one is because the dining folks that I usually communicate with are out of town this week. Mm. So it will be a surprise.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
I just want to let you know that Curtis Ferguson and I had a really nice session with, it was a student academic services group of residence hall directors, employees, for their staff meeting. The person in charge, she came up with this idea, invited us, and Curtis and I felt it was really effective. We basically said what we did in our roles. Talked about some of the issues that come up, how the governance works, and then did answers and questions and answers. And I think it's a great way to recruit people. And I would just suggest that if there are more opportunities to do this, speaking as a trustee, I think it's fantastic to do it all year long as many times as possible. And for the EA, equally as effective.
Oh, so you were promoting the EA?
Both.
Oh, and the
Curtis, and I'm
even
the UA.
So how did you guys get invited?
Mimi just came up with the idea. And she said, I really think it's important for my staff to know this.
Okay.
And it was very informal, sat around in the RPCC, public purpose room, and we were there for about an hour.
Okay. He distributed the brochures.
Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm. Like it makes sense for us once a year to do some sort of a letter to, I don't know what list, I don't know if it would be me or whoever, to offer up that we would be happy to talk to individual group meetings, talk about issues that we may want to know about and to share what we do. And then we can just take turns if anybody does contact us.
I can ask Mary when we meet for next week if she has any suggestions for that.
Yeah, because that would be a really good way to kind of say that you're right. I mean, the way Cornell really works is it's the person-to-person talk that really engages people.
And they ask a lot of questions, and Kirk and I did a pretty good job of having answers to all of them. And people got to see how connected we were to the university. And we were bantering about David Swarton's name. Oh, yeah, we needed him. And it was great idea.
Thank you.
One other thing that I forgot and now remember from Pat Clark, who came last to our last meeting, Cheryl gave some notes and answers to our questions. So just in talking about the relationship between the EA and the Cornell Recreation Connection, in the past, years ago, a member of the EA sat on the CRC. And then the CRC's chair attended EA meetings, so we worked closely together on different projects. That hasn't, I don't think, been, at least in my time in the EA, I don't know, Ari, if you know when that stopped happening. If that was before your time or
never seen it.
Never seen it. So it's been a while. In terms of this recruitment event that they want to do, remember they were asking, and I was trying to get a sense of dollars out of them. So they have zero funding. They're hoping that the EA could help financially with the upcoming volunteer education recruitment event set for May 18th. They'd like to serve pizza, and we'll need to pay for a room reservation, which I'm sure we could probably find them a free room. But they're looking for $200 to $250 in support. So,
for what? Pizza?
For pizza and a room reservation.
Well, you can probably get them a free room.
Yeah.
I would call the Best Western and negotiate a free room.
Why not? Just Humphrey or something.
Yeah, there's got to be a campus option for a room to have a space for a
meeting. Then my other question is how many people they're going to get? How much pizza? I mean, do they need $200 worth of pizza? Probably like $75.
So I think, I need to talk to Cheryl about it a little more, but I felt it was a little high, but I wanted to bring it to the group as well, just to see what people were thinking. I mean, I don't know, we really didn't talk much about it after Pat left, but are we generally in support of supporting the Recreation Connection?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. So. And then other than financially, Cheryl says CRC hopes to develop two or three campus events for employees to be held each year, like the Halloween happenings, to encourage employees to meet each other on a fun social setting. They would love to partner with us on those. They're hoping that once their reestablished bus trips get going, they'll have some money available to put back into events. They want to bring on new committee members, and they're hoping to reconnect with us a little bit more. I think they're looking for some financial support until they get some money in their coffers. I don't necessarily know that we can be the financial backer for the CRC. I think we can help them with a recruitment event and maybe offer some, publicity, like when we do our EAE news and stuff. But
should get somebody from that office to join me or something.
Well, it's not really an
office. Yeah,
it's basically a volunteer thing.
I'm happy to serve on that committee.
On the CRC committee?
Okay. Have to be added to our schedule,
wouldn't it? I don't know. We'll talk about it.
Okay. I wanted to follow up with last week when Gary mentioned the flower bulb labyrinth going in at the Children's Garden in support of perinatal loss group in Ithaca. So I brought some handouts to circulate around, and they're, of course, always looking for money, but donations of plant material, coming and digging in the dirt, just talking to another person to increase awareness, like any little thing that you can do would be good to circulate these around. And I brought a crate of hyacinths, only as many as I could carry on one trip, so maybe the people who take them this time will let the people who don't get them next time and bring them to take them home.
And just on that as another note, Amy and Ari did go back and look into the question of an EA donation. So in general, they frown upon us saying let's make a dollar donation, but if there's something that we can buy or purchase, that is something that the EA is allowed to do. But they
tangible goods.
Yeah. So if we wanted to buy bulbs or dirt or whatever, something like that, that is possible to do. We just want to be cautious in saying that, if we start making donations, there's a lot of things that we could be donating to, so we just want to be careful about putting EA cash into it.
Yeah,
it
would be equally as happy just having you talk.
Yeah, so we can talk it up. And
already. Thanks. You should take home five minutes today.
I already posted the flyer in the lunchroom or in the kitchen at Roberts Hall.
Okay.
I shared it.
Linda, I wanted to share an update on it too. A couple of issues ago of the parent e-news, There was a mention of this in it, the parent meetings that we sent out to probably about 800 parents across campus. And I talked to the person on my team who manages that, and she said, you write up a little paragraph. She'll send it out as its own independent thing over the parent meetings. And I think writing the different ways, like that parents could go with their kids to dig in the dirt, you know, to engage the community that way. If someone wants to work on writing a paragraph or so, it will go out to like over 800 people across campus.
Okay.
But it was in the parent news, I think, 2 issues ago.
And if you send it to me, I'll forward it to the wellness news newsletter.
And we can put it on the EAE news too.
One of the ways to get around the concern about EA's coffers being so dry is for each of us to buy a bulb.
Yep.
Or 2 bulbs, and that would come up to 25. And
yep.
Just another way to do it. 15-minute warning.
Yeah. Anything else for today? No? Everybody quiet.
Move to your turn.
All right. Thank you, guys.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.